Blog Talk Radio.
Almost live from somewhere in Nashville, Tennessee, Regime Entertainment presents It's Not Me, It's You, the show where the good, the bad, and the ugly of relationships are discussed from both genders' point of view. And now here's your host, John.
Hey, good evening, everybody. It's John, and it is a little warmer in Nashville than it has been this past week. We've been experiencing some very cold single-digit temperatures, so we are warmed back up to the 40s or 30s now, and it is Thursday night. Welcome to It's Not Me, It's You, and we have a very special show tonight. Our guest again is Amy V. Hi, Amy.
Hi. How are
Amy,
you?
Amy, I'm good, sweetie. I'm great. Amy is getting over an illness like everybody else in the free world is. So she's promised to only hack four times tonight. What's that?
That went.
What was that?
That's my background. It's
oh,
gone.
Cool. Okay. Well, tonight we're going to talk about a piece of literature that Miss Amy wrote a few years back called Aphromisiac. It's about how to date yourself and why do you need to do that? And we're going to talk about, you know, and then we're going to talk about me a little bit in this area and see how that works out for me. But before we get going, our music tonight is brought to you by Tyler Stinson. Tyler is becoming quite a good, quite popular guy on our show, so we're going to continue to play some of his music. Tonight's song is all about being alone, shockingly enough. It's called That I'll Know You. Here's Tyler Stinson.
Gotten good at being alone through the Valentine's and the mistletoe, though I've tried to find my heart's muse. Oh, that I'll know you when I see you. I've pictured it a thousand times. My hands have run the length of your spine down to your thighs, to your glass shoes. So shine, sunshine, burn brighter than the others, so that I might see your brand of being one another and another. Oh, I cannot call your name, 'cause I don't know who I'm calling to. That I'll know you when I see you. It's not that I have never loved, but my time has been a victim of the winds of change. Mind how they blow. Oh, that I'll know you when I see you. My love, I haven't met. Wherefore art thou, Juliet? You see, I switched the lines, but the play reads true. Oh, that I'll know you when I see you. So shine, sunshine. Your brand of being one another and another. Oh, I cannot call your name, 'cause I don't know who I'm calling to. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, oh. That I'll know you when I see you. Oh,
right, and that was That I'll Know You by Tyler Stinson, and we welcome back Amy to the show. Amy, are you, did you get your coughing fit out of the way while we were off the air?
I did. I hope nobody heard it.
No, we didn't. So, all right, let's talk about your piece that you wrote called Aphromisiac, and what this is about is, you know, the whole concept of dating yourself, getting to know yourself, being with yourself, be comfortable with yourself. Tell me why, first of all, why you were inspired to even write this piece.
Oh, boy, I got to go back years in my head. you know, I think it was just from coming from the place of just coming out of a long relationship. It was several years, and I was at a place where I probably was at that crossroads of where I could have taken the road of just kind of giving up on the whole love theory and certain ways that I was made up, you know, and things that I believed in, and kind of given in and started my, you know, I hate men rant and just given up on the concept of anything worth value being in a relationship, you know, anything having to do with it. Or my other path that I could have chosen, which is the path that I did choose, was to, you know, take responsibility, grow past the common, obvious things that I could be doing, which is becoming bitter or using the disappointments that I had in relationships as excuses for me to, you know, use people or stay on a casual level or, you know, not grow as a person, you know, all those things. So Aphromisiac came from a place of me really deciding, okay, I'm at a place where I don't want to have anything to do with the relationship. I'm pretty turned off by the concept of love, trust, and general caring in general. I don't really know if I believe in what I believed in anymore. I also don't feel any desire in me to be romantic or be with a person. You know, it's at that place where you're so kind of broken inside. You don't really recognize anything that was the structure of your beliefs and things anymore. And so at that place, I started doing some real digging and writing at that time to kind of get down to going through what I call the rubble of this earthquake that happened inside of me that kind of shook all the walls down to the ground, and I had to go through and see what survived and what I still wanted to keep and what I felt was worth rebuilding and what I needed to build from scratch from a brand new, you know, point of view. And that's where I think the book, as far as the content of it, came from. And I remember I wrote it literally within, I think it took me 2 weeks to write this thing, in a Starbucks in West Hollywood. I remember it clearly.
Creative Starbucks. Always, always there. And for those of you who aren't familiar with Amy and her work, she has recently published this past year a book called Woo Dat. That's W-O-O-D-A-T. It's available on Amazon and also through the website. This piece, she says, is going to be coming back out again, reissued soon. So that we'll look forward to that. But Amy has over a decade of relationship blogging and podcasts, of which yours truly appeared on a few times, and she has a lot of knowledge about dating and relationships, so she's a constant guest on our show. So let's get into it then. The first question I would have, you know, because we're talking about basically dating ourselves, because we're not either not dating somebody else or we're just perpetually alone, whatever the case may be. So start off, if you will, and explain how to properly date yourself and why it is so important to do so.
Let's start off with why it's so important to do so.
Okay.
It's funny to me about how we're made as human beings that it seems like all of us who are, you know, still, and I'm going to say I still believe that a majority of people on this planet still want to be in relationships. It's just most of them a lot of them are choosing the easy route. And I don't blame, because, again, it takes a lot of hard work to go in and realize that you need to take responsibility for what it is you're wanting. And I think that what I was saying about the human nature, what's so fascinating, is deep down inside, all of us, you know, want this relationship where there's full support, someone who truly knows you, someone who accepts you for how you are and everything about you, someone who strives and helps you to become a better person and to grow as a person. Someone who still makes you feel, you know, like you're wanted and desired, and someone that you still desire and want. And, you know, all these things that people want in a relationship. Yet when you really, really hone in on exactly what you're doing in a relationship or how well you actually know yourself and are doing those things for yourself, nobody is anywhere near close to having that kind of outcome in a relationship. And to me, and this is going back to my own analysis of myself, I feel the reason why I hadn't been able to achieve it up to that point is because I truly believe that you, as honest as you are with yourself, is the amount of honesty that you will attract in a partner.
Right.
And most people, you know, if you take 10 relationships right now, you've got some relationships where people are just completely living separate lives. The relationship is superficial. They don't really know each other. And to tell you the truth, they don't really care to know each other. You know, it's just like now you got two kids and now you got a mortgage payment and you're just kind of living things out. You got a lot of those people. You got people that really despise each other and can't stand each other, but it would be more difficult for them to leave each other, so they stay together. And then you've got people that are together. I mean, you got a whole slew of different relationships out there that fall in all kinds of different categories.
And for different reasons, of course.
And for different reasons, exactly. But how many of those relationships are the people actually sitting down in front of the mirror and 100% with full acceptance, no judgment, not talking about being critical of yourself, just looking in the mirror and actually knowing why it is you're really in this relationship, why it is you do the things that you do in this relationship, why it is that you don't listen to your inner voice when it comes to this relationship, why it is that you expect something that you're not willing to give in return in this relationship. I mean, there are so many, it's like the blooming onion at Outback. I mean, there's so many different layers of BS that none of us look at in ourselves. And our relationships, most of them are based on that BS, because you can't have an honest relationship with another human being if you are not being first and foremost honest with yourself. So dating, quote-unquote dating yourself,
yeah,
is a way for you to really take responsibility for what it is that you're creating in your relationships. What is it that you truly do want in a partner? I mean, really, you say out of your mouth, well, I'm not emotional. And I hear girls say this all the time. I don't care. I'm not going to get attached. I'm this and that. And then they go into it, and they're casually hooking up with the guy, and the girl's starting to grow feelings, but she'll never admit it. And then when the guy treats them like he treats every other girl he's hooking up with, you know, they're upset and they're crying. Well, you know, were you honest at the beginning with yourself that really your motivations weren't, hey, I want to be casual? Really, deep down inside, if you were 100% honest with yourself, you were the furthest thing from that. You went in with, you know, maybe this will turn out to be something else. Maybe there's something really there. Things like that. When you get honest with yourself, with dating yourself, you also get to see how well you fare up as being someone to date, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's obviously that, I mean, in a perfect world, you want to have that figured out before you get into the you know, quote-unquote serious relationship that you hopefully will end up with. But, I mean, more and more people think they're into that when they start a relationship, but as the months or the years go by, they find that that is not the case. So, I mean, how do you recommend, and this is kind of off the cuff, if you will, how do you recommend that somebody who's in a relationship kind of take a step back and date themselves to preserve the relationship?
Well, I have, from my own experience, been in that seat where you're in a relationship, and then all of a sudden you feel like the victim because it's not quite what you thought it was, or the person's not quite who you thought they were. If you will pull the thread to that sweater that's coming undone and get to the end of it, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to say 10 times out of 10, I'm just going to go out on a limb and say 10
times
you've
always
out of
been
10,
a rebel, so go for it.
You're the liar. Because when you truly look at it, you get into a relationship with a person, almost every single one of us, with the relationship that goes awry, we can look back in hindsight and see 20 different warning signs that we saw. that the person wasn't quite what we thought they were, that we had really gone in with certain standards and excused the total disrespect of those standards for the person that we're in the relationship with. When you get down to the bottom of that, that has nothing to do with that person disappointing you or doing something outside of the relationship that causes that relationship to fail. That has to do with the fact that you failed yourself first.
Okay.
You failed yourself. You went in, I went in, two relationships, and slowly, like a frog being boiled on a, stovetop, which is a lovely image. You put that thing on slow boil, you have no idea what's happening before it's too late. It's the same exact thing when you go into the relationship. If you are not anchored in truly knowing what you want and truly being authentic inside, or at least willing when things come up to take responsibility and try to be authentic with the things that you're creating in your life. If you're not willing to do that, each time you allow something, each time you overlook something, each time you excuse something, you are chipping away at the foundation, and there's no one to blame at the end of that relationship for that but your choices.
That's true. I mean, it goes back to when we talked about, you know, psychological abuse and other things that chip away at relationships. Instead of building, we're chipping.
And you know what? It might be a tiny bit here and a little speck there and a little fleck just flew off there. But over time, you chip enough, you get that crack, and then it just takes one more tiny chip, and boom, the whole thing is done. And I think that that's what so many people face, because they're not at that place where they truly... I'm going to give you an example. Even with my relationship, my current relationship, there are things that I have had to look at and are continuing to still look at myself. And this is the first and foremost thing that I would like to say. And I'm sorry that I'm rambling, but all these things are coming to my mind quickly.
Oh, this is why we're here.
Yes. The soulmate, the person that, you know, is not the person you're playing around with. It's not the person that you're trying to get as a trophy or an ego attainment, or the person that you just think is so hot you've got to have them. The person that is truly, truly the person who's connected with you, that you are taking a chance on connecting with and being in a true intimate relationship with. That person will never resemble the perfect, idyllic person in your life. The whole purpose of having a soulmate is that person is, and I believe this with all my heart, this isn't spiritual frou-frou coming out of my mouth, I have experienced this, that person is a reflection back to you of the things in you that are asking to be bettered. The things in you that you have a blind spot with. You don't see it in yourself. And it's the other person, the person that you're so connected with, the person that you're committed to, and the person that truly is that soul person with you, that in such, you know, love and sometimes pain shows you through the mirror you.
Yeah.
And a lot of times people can't handle that. A lot of times people think because there's so much growth going on here, or because there's so much, you know, coming up that I've got to deal with, or because this person gets on my nerves here, or because this person does this or does that. So many people want to take the negative route with that. And if you really look at it, there's an opportunity in all of it for you as a person to look at yourself and grow. So in my relationship right now, there are things that you know, we have gone through that to this day, even today, I'm still able to look at. And instead of blaming him for it or looking at it in such a black and white, one angle way, which is you're the person who did the action, therefore you're the person who's wrong. If you can have a paradigm shift and you go up to a different level and you can see it all, you begin to realize that, you know, there are patterns that you have in reactions. There are beliefs that you hold from maybe even way back from when you were a kid and things happened, or your first relationship or whatever. There's certain DNA grooves in you now that your expectation automatically goes to, or your fears automatically go to. And once you start breaking that down, you start realizing that you never really can blame the other person no matter what's going on. You got to look at yourself. and say, you know, how am I participating in this part of the relationship? How am I, you know, feeding this part instead of creating something different? And in all those ways, start creating a healthy relationship. But I believe that starts with creating it with yourself first. And it sounds so stupid and cheesy, but, I mean, dating yourself, how else, what's a better way of getting to know yourself the way you truly, you know, say you want someone to know you?
Yeah, that's true. We have some activity going on in the chat room. If you guys are listening in, please join in the chat room. I wanted to share a couple of ideas that came out through there and see what you think. And then we'll carry on with, you know, with more aphrodisiac. But one of our listeners in the chat room is, we're talking about red flags, and we're talking about, you know, how to determine if you're so focused on the bigger red flags, you miss out on the chippers, as we call them now. We nicknamed them chippers. Do you have some advice, I guess, for lack of a better term, because we don't like giving advice on that, but we'll go with suggestions, ways to help people determine how and what they really want in a partner, any kind of exercises, any kind of, you know, workarounds, or just kind of, I mean, if you're like me, you kind of just wing it. You know it when you see it. You know, do you,
yeah, I mean,
how do you, how
I
do you?
I have always suggested, and I have done this, sit down, piece of paper and a pen. And see, these are things that people, oh, I don't want to do that. It takes too much time. Oh, my God. And especially, you know, and I'm not stereotyping here, but men especially are like, really? I mean,
hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
But,
okay, no. What we do now is we get, hey, no, wait, hold on. While we're riding in the car, not driving, but riding, or we're, you know, doing something that we don't need our motor skills for, you know, take your smartphone and get the notepad function of your smartphone and start writing stuff down
right
there. Right? Okay.
But yeah,
right.
And what you want to do is, I mean, go through your past relationships. This is the first place to start. Go through your past relationships and what was it? I mean, I can't name specifics right now, and I really don't want to because I don't want to lay my personal life down the line, but I know that there are ways in which I truly, deep down inside, wanted a certain thing. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, it was the very thing that I said was no big deal of me having, really, in a relationship.
Now, is
like
that a trait, or is
it
a physical trait,
yeah, like
or
a trait,
personality trait, or
no,
what?
No, like a personality trait.
Okay.
And then once I started becoming blatantly honest with myself and really taking the time to say, okay, why won't you admit that this is truly what you want to have in a person, a quality that you truly wish that you had in a person? Why are you playing tough guy and acting like you don't need it, or this and that? Things like that. I mean, that allowed me to start going down and making a list of what was of the highest priority. And the funny thing is, I mean, you do that in your 20s, your list in your 40s is completely different after you've experienced. But the thing is, you, if you are seeing red flags at the beginning of a relationship, red flags always, to me, and I'm speaking personally about myself, always represent a pattern. If it's a red flag to me, it's something that I have experienced before in a relationship. If it's something that I've experienced before in a relationship, why am I experiencing it more than once? What is it that I'm choosing? What kind of personality am I choosing? What type of personality am I finding myself attracted to over and over again that I can even have a red flag because, hey, I've been through this before.
Well, and some,
you know,
I mean? There's a lot of women in Nashville especially that seem to always attract the same kind of person, same kind of guy. You know, you want to label him bad boy, you want to label him abuser, you want to label him whatever label you want to put on him, but they show the same.
That right there again is a person not being honest with themselves about what they want.
Agreed.
Who on this planet truly wants someone who's going to treat him like crap? No one. No one on this planet wants someone who's going to have sex with them and then not call them back. no one on this planet wants to be with a guy that's chasing them like they're the Queen of Sheba, and then as soon as he gets them, you know, then it takes him 3 hours to call back, or maybe he waits 2 days. No one wants a person who's playing games with them. No one wants that truly deep down inside. And the people who do want it, and I was one of those people, and I think every person on this planet can say they have fallen for the bad girl or the bad guy. And the reason, if you get authentic with yourself and truly look at yourself, it all boils down to what you are scared of in your own life. Why are you so scared of true intimacy and connection that you are willing to have the cubic zirconia instead of the diamond?
Yeah.
You're willing to have the fake ingredients instead of the homemade. What about the real thing is scaring you enough to you actually participating in someone abusing you in ways?
Yeah.
It comes back to the person, you know, and that's what I'm talking about. If you date yourself, you give yourself the safety area to nurture yourself, and so many times people are looking for that nurturing from someone else, and they never give it to themselves. And that's why when someone else gives it to them, they either sabotage it or it's never enough. No matter what the other person does, it's never enough because they, every day, don't nurture themselves and give it to themselves first and foremost. When you nurture yourself, when you romance yourself, when you truly are interested in knowing yourself, when you give the safe space for yourself to be honest, in all of these ways, you are creating a loving atmosphere that you're saturating yourself in every day. And when you do that for a long period of time, you become more attractive, you become more balanced, you become more real, which makes you more authentic, which makes you shine. It makes people want to know you. You know, it makes you stand out from other people because you're genuine and you can tell that you're, you know, people that really take care of themselves and eat well and take care of their bodies, you can see they're healthy people. People that are working on themselves emotionally and are truly loving themselves and nurturing themselves, you can see that they're healthy people. That makes you attracted to them.
Right. Well, ultimately what it amounts to, if we get down to it, is the one thing that lacks in many men and many women is self-confidence and self-esteem.
Definitely.
I mean, if you have those things, you are more attractive to people.
Yes.
Right? So, I mean, dating yourself and knowing yourself and being happy with yourself is going to automatically, you don't need anybody else to, you know, boost your confidence and boost your self-esteem because you do it yourself.
You won't be what I call in this book, Aphromisiac, an intimacy junkie. You will not be the person that needs a hit from everyone you see. You will not be
that
person. If you truly are attractive, I mean, if you truly are, or not if you truly are attractive, that's funny, that's like a Freudian slip. Well, you will be attractive if you're confident. So if you truly are confident, if you truly do love yourself, if you truly are balanced in that area, you will not be an intimacy junkie. And that is the first sign. I just actually Googled this today because it's the first time I'd ever heard it. Have you ever heard of love bombing?
No, share.
It's this phrase that came up with, it's something that the Moonies and the Unification Church used, but people use it today to talk about those people that when they meet you, they're crazy about you instantly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just, we have so much in common, you know, there must be a reason why, you know, it's that person that just slathers it on so thick. And they have so much compliments and, you know, I've never thought of a woman like I have this way with you before and I've never connected this way before. And they'll sit there and say all this stuff and it's like they're just over the top of their obsession with you, you know, it's like they're just crazy about you. And you're wondering, how can you be crazy about me? You don't even know me. And they lose their, you know, lose their stuff around you when you come around. You can just tell you affect them so much. And those are called love bombers. Those are the people who will do that to you. The moment they meet you, excuse me, not because they truly think that about you, because they need so much. They need the intimacy junkie. They need the hit. And so they provide you with all of this you know, I'm crazy about you, do this with me, exchange this with me, please, 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 then the moment you're on the line and you actually want something from them, now you're not attractive to them anymore. Because
right.
they're love bombing all over the place.
Right.
So an intimacy junkie, that's a person who's crazy about every person they meet. That's a person who has no boundaries. You know, there's no type when it comes to what they're looking for. Everybody falls under that category as long as, you know, they're a person that's available to get their hit from.
Yeah, I'm going to stop doing that now that I know what it is. Thanks.
Are you love bombing?
Called me out again. Good gracious, what are we going to do? So, yeah.
I
agree with that. You see that all the time. I mean, many people will call it networking, but it's a different kind of where you're right. You're just all about that person. But then what's the residual effect of that? You make somebody feel wanted and loved for, you know, a few days, an hour, a day, a week, a month, whatever it is, and then all of a sudden you're on to the next one. You disappear as the love bomber, and you're left. That person is left, you know, with that hole. So
you have no business. And the people that are like that, they have their own, you know, psychological reasons why they're doing that. But if you can't make a person that you're with for a long period of time feel the way that you have made, you know, 500 women feel or 500 men feel, that didn't mean a thing to you, you got issues.
Yeah.
You know, if you can't woo and can't have a successful relationship with a person and make them feel just as worshipped as you did when you were running after them at the beginning because you needed so badly to have your hit, you know, that's wrong. And that's what so many people are doing today. So many people are doing this.
Yeah, I agree.
So
anyway, let's you know, that kind of brings us to the next question. We've talked about actually, you know, wooing yourself, if you will, but talk about some ways that we can do that.
Well, I've got all kinds of different ideas. And some of them are cheesy and some of them are fun. I used to, when I was single, I created, and see, I'm a woman, so what's important to me is that romantic, special, magical, you know, feeling. So I used to always love to, you know, do things for me every day, no matter how small, that made me feel special. One of them, you know, going and getting my coffee every day.
Mm-hmm.
Going to a bookstore and just sitting in there, taking an hour, just sitting in a bookstore at night or during the day whenever I had time, and sitting down with a book and just getting lost in it. I used to love to go out to eat by myself, which is unheard of with most single people.
It's awesome, isn't it?
I would find those places that I felt the most comfortable in. You know, places where I felt like, A, it wasn't going to be a meat market that I was going to get hit on, and B, places where, you know, it just brought out the inner, romance in me, where I'm like, wow, the atmosphere here is so nice, the music's nice, my waiter's nice, my waitress is nice, this food is amazing, you know, things that I would have to press myself to have the confidence to do. Go to a movie by yourself, go to eat by yourself, do things that truly, truly you would love if somebody else did for you. One thing that I used to always do, which I love to do, when I would make dinner for myself, I would do it as if I was having a date, 100%. I would get out, totally plan my meal of what I'm going to make, go to the grocery store, make sure I got a nice bottle of wine. I would light candles. I would put music on. I would have a little dessert, little tiny dessert at the end of it for me. I would, you know, put my fireplace on if it was cold outside. I would make sure I wasn't dressed in sweatpants and a you know, ponytail. I would actually be dressed and nice. And I would sit down and create my whole entire atmosphere as if, you know, I had someone coming over for a date.
See, we would do the same thing as men. We would just turn on a flashlight and eat over the sink.
Well,
so
this is the thing for men. If you like, say you really like the communion of oneness with being out in nature, but you rarely give yourself the opportunity to go on a hike.
Yeah.
That's one thing. Get yourself a golf tee time and go play 18 holes when you wouldn't do it. You never do it without, you know, friends. Go be by yourself. Go do something. And here's the thing with men. don't spend the hour that you're committing to, you know, really dating yourself, which is such a foreign concept to men. Don't hunt during that hour that you're doing that. Because what good is it if you're doing that? You're supposed
to
be
so
hunting yourself.
That's difficult not to do, though, you know?
I know, but
can
hey,
you think about
think
hunting?
About this. If you actually were able, if you actually were able to discipline yourself in your mind and body for 1 hour to focus on something besides that, when you have every opportunity to focus on that, think of how you'll be when you actually find a person that you want to be with.
Yeah.
You have that. It's just
kind of like training
yourself
the number,
almost. The number, what did you say that?
I said it's kind of like training yourself to be in a relationship, isn't it?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, how can you go into a relationship and be good at a relationship when you have no practice being in a relationship or
even
the times that you have been in a relationship? Yeah, you got to – I think the biggest turnaround for me with this is after years of doing this, you know, I got to the place where I was – and, John, this was my full heart, I'm telling you 100% – honest truth when I say this, I was at a place where I was so happy and content by myself.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't have any of those, you know, longing needs of I've got to go out on a date. I've got to find somebody. I was enjoying my own company so much. I mean, I had finally looked at myself and accepted the things that I didn't like about myself and started laughing at myself and really started realizing, hey, you know, you do this when you're nervous or you do, you know, it started noticing things about myself that I normally wouldn't do because I'm not focused on it. And in doing that, I got to a place where it was like, you know what, I'm okay with being single.
Right.
And when I got to the place of I'm okay with being single, you know, boom, later on down the road comes a person that I can actually go the distance with.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And it wasn't, and you knew me during that time. I mean, you knew I wasn't on the hunt. I was the hunted.
That's true.
I
were.
I wasn't out there trying to make something happen. I wasn't in any way desperate to cause and I'm not saying there weren't people that I was hooked on, because I definitely was. You know,
the
times where I did date those people. But when I say, like, going out in a group, mm-hmm. you know, going out to meet friends, going to social functions, this and that, I wasn't on the lookout for my next piece of meat.
You went alone
next,
and you left
you know.
Alone. That's right.
Yeah. And that, to me, when you can get to that place, and especially with men, because that's what women are very attracted to. Women are attracted to the man who is, and we've talked about this so many times, mm-hmm. not reeking of that desperation of I need someone.
Right.
So what better
true.
Way to get to that place where you can actually get to the place inside of yourself where, John, you go to an event and it's like everybody's you know, noticing and swarming to you because you're in no way needing to get anything from anybody. You're perfectly, perfectly, 100% content.
Right. I don't need them until they want me.
Right.
That makes sense? I just made that up. That's not bad. I don't need them until they want me. Let me ponder that for a little while. So see if that makes sense or not. Does that make sense to you?
It does. I mean,
okay, good.
you can say it in, I think, a less it's not that you don't, you know, it's that black and white, you don't need them until they want you, and then you'll need them. It's just it's the fact of you're okay
right.
either way.
With or without, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's a big problem we have. I mean, and it goes back to, I think it is really and I've told several people this, I think it's really, it's different in different parts of the country on how that is perceived and how that is, you know, how you handle it. I think because of the, and this is going to sound weird, the type of population, the demographic that we have here in Middle Tennessee versus where you are versus, you know, Boston or New York or Miami or Denver or, you know, Topeka. For, you know, everybody is different. It is different in every single area. And, you know, when the time comes that we take this show on the road and start asking the same questions of different areas of the country, you're going to see different answers. And to me, that's just, extraordinarily fascinating that everybody looks at it different. But I agree, it is should be, you know, like you said, everybody on the face of the earth should be content with themselves. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. But there are those people that are never going to be content.
It doesn't work that way because nobody's trying.
That's
I mean,
true.
It is,
and
it
then
is
people
the
are
common,
like, yeah, they'd yeah. rather be on phones, et cetera, but, you know, they should, you know, and to me, that is just, that is a goal that you know, we should strive for as individuals, as humans.
Yay? I agree.
Okay. You
Yay.
Agree.
Yay.
You're like the only woman in the whole world ever always agrees with me. There's just something wrong with that, I think. So, and vice versa. So. Let's talk about, you know, the honesty levels. You know, when you're dating yourself, you know, sometimes you can, what's the word I'm looking for? Color over some of the bad things that might be going on internally and inside your mind or inside your body, or, you know, how do you go about being honest with yourself when you're dating yourself? Any suggestions?
I think when you're really starting to form a relationship with yourself, naturally, things start to come up in your mind of questions, of especially having to deal with your past and your past failures in relationships, the way people have hurt you in the past, the way you may have hurt other people. You know, these things come up. Let me try to make an example. You know, you start really developing a relationship with yourself, nurturing yourself in that way, and you realize that, let's say you're a man, and you realize that you never truly feel like you really have deep down loved 90% of the women that you've pursued.
Yeah.
Or been in a relationship with. And so you start to ask yourself, I wonder why I would sit there and, you know, wear that mask every day and be in a relationship with a person who, you know, at the end of the day, I truly didn't feel that way about. Why would I do that? Or why do I, and this is such a feminist term, and I don't mean feminist, that's probably the wrong word, but I don't like this word because it's so common and used in this, the objectification of women. But when you can't look at a woman without placing her in a box of what you're going to get out of it and what you want to get out of it, you know, if you really, really, really tried so hard to get with a person and at the end of the day you realize they are a person that you probably couldn't have spent more than 2 weeks with, and mm-hmm. if you were locked in a room with them for a week, you would have, like, committed Harry Carey. If these are things that come up in your head, you know that your motivations were not honest. You know that you just, you know, were working off of a more superficial stance. You know, women, if you realize that you really were with that man because you were too scared to go off and be on your own, maybe you were financially in a place where you couldn't really imagine not having the shared household, or there's, you know, things that you can look back on and start really just dissecting in a kind way of why you have done these things, why you have thought these things, why do you believe these things? Mm-hmm. 'Cause that, you know, Einstein's saying the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. If you are a person who can sit here right now on this call, think back, full honesty, just being 100% transparent with yourself, mm-hmm. and think back to your relationships of the past. And if you can name more than two that have pretty much ended up the same, you need to look in the mirror. You need to ask those questions.
Right.
You need to find out why. And you need to realize that it's not about them.
It's not.
If it's happening more than once, twice, this is you.
Yeah, the common denominator starts shining through eventually after like one time. And, you know, we see that a lot. I mean, we use, you know, we always joke at, you know, Taylor Swift's expense that, you know, she has a lot of relationships and none of them work out. What's the common denominator? Well, it's her. So maybe we need to send this to her and have her read it. But, I mean, it's like that with everybody. So, It's funny, and it took me, I know it took me many, many, many years, we won't go into how many, to figure it out for myself. And just like you said, I mean, it's difficult to get to that point, but once you do, it's really downhill from there.
Well, what I think is easy about getting to that point is when you do, quote unquote, start dating yourself, which means you're taking time out of your day to truly connect with you.
Mm-hmm.
Give yourself the space free of distractions to get to know you, nurture you, and be there for yourself. When you start doing that, you're in a space in your life where, you know, you become, the more you do that, the more open you become, because you're not filling, you know, your every space and every moment with a distraction. When
right.
you start giving yourself those moments, that's when those moments start speaking back to you.
Yeah.
And this time you can hear them because you're not distracted. You're not drowning it out with another person or playing around.
Yeah, you know what happens is you remember those moments and you take them with you into that dual relationship, if you will, with another person. And that, and you remember, you flash back to those, oh, I did that for me. Maybe I'll try that for her or him. And it becomes...
Yeah, and maybe I'll continue to do that for me while I'm in this relationship.
Oh, absolutely.
And
you should.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's
not cheating, though, right?
No, I don't think so.
Dating yourself is not cheating when you're with somebody else, I don't think. So, well, you know, we don't want to encourage, you know, cheating on people, right? That's another show.
It's a whole other show.
A whole other show. All right. Well, any other advice you want to give to our, you know, anybody listening on, you know, the best ways, how long, just anything that you think might be pertinent at this point before we wrap up for tonight?
I think that the key, answer to all that is if people are asking, how long is this going to take? If people are still asking, how do I meet people? If people are still asking these questions, you're not getting the point. The point in the whole entire thing is, in order for you to take responsibility for yourself, you have to stop reaching out in need to have something happen with another person. You got to make it happen with you first.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta love yourself enough that when, and this comes with knowing yourself, connecting with yourself, all the things that we've said, when the time comes when you meet a person that you feel connected and attracted to and you think, yeah, I'm actually interested in this person,
mm-hmm.
when that person shows their interest to you, you know, you will immediately know if this person is worth investing in. You will immediately know, does this person make me feel as good about myself as I make myself feel?
Right.
If those people fail in that way, if those people show that you're really not a priority in your life, if they're showing signs of disrespect, dishonesty, these things, those are the red flag to you, red flag, of... Mm-hmm. You know, I know that this isn't what I want because I've given myself all of these things, and why should I be getting less from another person that I'm investing in and giving time to and my moments to? No way.
Right.
I'd rather be by myself.
And let me interject that one area here, because where I see so many people having a problem is when they find somebody and they realize it's not the right person, they have a really hard time cutting them loose. You have to learn to cut people loose that are bad.
It's the hardest thing in the world. I'm not saying that's easy.
Exactly.
It's not easy.
Learn to say no. It's okay. Remember Nancy Reagan back in, just say no.
Okay? Again, if you're practicing, if you're not losing yourself, and this is the truth, when you're in a relationship, you get into a relationship, it ends up not being what it is that's making you feel good about yourself. And you feel it's more unhealthy than it is healthy. And no one's growing. And it's this unhealthy, stagnant environment. If you will find a way to not lose yourself, to not give in to the, you know, self-worth issues and I feel so crappy about myself. And if you choose not to go on that roller coaster and you choose to rise above it and you start nurturing yourself again, you start focusing on yourself again, you start connecting with yourself again, the energy of you will remain. That whole energy will remain. And it will get to the point where you can no longer resonate or even be around that person if that person isn't raising themselves to that same level. So, yeah, it's difficult to leave people. It's difficult to end things. It's very painful. There's a lot of fear involved in it. There's abandonment issues. There's all kinds of psychological reasons why we stay with people where there's an expiration date. But if you can't change the circumstances and you can't leave, the one thing you can do is get back in relationship with yourself. And when you do that, that person is either going to step up energetically and match that, or you're not going to be able to connect with them at all anymore. And it will be quite easy. The shifting will be quite easy of the two of you getting the heck out of each other's lives. Because there'll be no more room to connect.
That's true. Step up or step off, people.
Yep, that's right.
There is a question in the chat room I wanted to throw at you before we wrap up tonight, and that is, how does all this affect wooing?
How does all this affect wooing? Well, if you
talk a little
take
bit about
the time,
it,
but this is going to be real quick. If you take the time and effort to do what it takes, because it is work, to sit there and take time out of your day and truly, truly relationship and woo yourself is what nobody on this planet really is willing to do. First of all, we're all lazy. We want it done by somebody else. And most of us don't want to look at our junk in the trunk. We don't want to see the mess in the room. We want to cover it up, you know. We want to have the kitty litter box of life, which is there's crap there, but we're just going to scoop some kitty litter over it and everything's fine now. That's how most of us want to live. So if you are a person who is truly healing, loving yourself, nurturing yourself, dating yourself, giving yourself time, effort, doing things that are kind for yourself, doing things that make you feel magic, make you feel good, make you feel inspired. Don't you think that when you get into a relationship with someone else, you're going to easily be able to woo another person because you first and foremost wooed yourself?
Yeah, as long as you don't forget what you did to get to that point. No?
Exactly. But when you get to that place, it becomes so easy to realize that the romance and wooing that is required for life of a relationship, and I don't care what anybody says, every person wants this. But it's not about the flowers and the, you know, gifts and the nice dinners and this and that. It's about being thoughtful and selfless. I wrote this today. You know, it's like I have had times where I have made dinner because I love to cook,
and I'm making
my boyfriend's plate and I'm making my plate. And there's one plate that comes out extra special. It's got, like, you know, all of the great ingredients in it, and the cheese looks great, or the French fries look nice, or the potatoes look awesome, or the vegetables look great. Whatever it is, one plate is just stellar and the other plate is okay. And there's a part of me that wants that stellar plate, you know?
Then
but
why can't you make two stellar plates?
Well, it's the plate's already made, John.
Okay, I'm sorry. I took it literally, didn't I, right?
you're looking and seeing this, and you're like, okay. And you put that plate down in front of your boyfriend or your girlfriend instead of you taking it.
Right.
That's just thoughtfulness. Now, that person has no idea that you actually wanted the plate that looks better. that person has no idea that it, you know, had, you know, say you love andouille sausage and that plate had four more pieces than the other plate and it just looked great and you weren't really paying attention because you were in a hurry and you made these plates. I mean, that person has no idea that you, and it sounds so stupid. It's just this tiny little sacrifice. Could be anything. Could be anything.
Yeah.
That is something that you, you know, give a little self-sacrifice with.
Right.
And you offer it. That is wooing. That's romance. It's not about doing specific things. It's about the connection and art of nurturing. And if you do that to yourself and you do that with yourself, it becomes so easy to do it with people in life. And you come from a place where you're not, you know, expecting anything in return. It just becomes who you are.
Right.
That's why it's important. That's what it has to do with wooing.
Yeah. And it's ultimately happiness will end up, you will end up being happy at the end of all this. And that's what matters. No matter what age you are, what situation you're in, you need to be happy. So thank you, ma'am.
You need to be happy. You can't expect someone else to make you happy. You got to
do that. True that.
Be the one that gives it to yourself.
So what's for dinner tonight?
I'm not.
What's
going to
be on the special plate? What's that?
I'm being wooed. Hopefully, I'll be taken out to dinner.
Oh, okay. So we're not cooking.
I made a great dinner last night, though. It was delicious.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then enjoy your happy meal tonight, right?
Yeah.
I doubt it. I know. So
my fish sticks.
Ooh, yum. I'm hungry now. So with that said, we're all going to go eat dinner now. So thank you, Miss Amy. We appreciate it, as always,
you
being on with us. And don't forget to check out Amy's writings at on Amazon. You can get her paperback called Woodat, W-O-O-D-A-T. And
so
is your website back up again?
Real quick to interrupt you, and just
go
you got to do this in 10 seconds or less. How are you going to date yourself this week?
Oh, good Lord. I am going to go make myself dinner and not eat it over the sink.
Nice.
I know, right? I am going to treat myself to, I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow night. I'll figure out what I'm going to do tomorrow night, and then I'll do it, and I'll be nice about it. I've already kind of started, Amy. I'm kind of, you know, I've worked in, most of my issues have been mental, emotional, that kind of thing, and yeah, we all know I'm mental. It's okay, and you know, and I've made great progress to where my heart is now open again and not slammed shut as it was the last couple of years. So,
I love that.
I know you do, and I'm just saying that so you'll get off my case.
Yeah, but
good.
I will be finding out later how you're going to do that.
Yes, ma'am. I will prepare that. You caught me off guard with that one. So, anyway.
Maybe you can post for us on your page how you're going to do this for yourself or what you end up doing and share it.
Okay, we'll talk. That's John avoiding the question is what that is. So, but no, I will practice what she is preaching, y'all, and I suggest everybody go out and do something good for yourself this coming weekend. And we will be back next Thursday. Amy will be back in the next couple, 2 or 3 weeks, and we'll look forward to that. Make sure you go to Amazon or my website and check out Amy's paperback and called Woodat, as I mentioned earlier. And it's always a pleasure.
Thank you. Always a pleasure to be on.
Well, we're going to end tonight with how we started with the song That I'll Know You by Tyler Stinson. With that, make sure to like our Facebook page, It's Not Me, It's You. Go to the website to access that if you like. It'snotmeradio.com. And as always, thank you all for joining us, and peace out.
Bye.
I've gotten good at being alone through the Valentines and the mistletoe, though I've tried to find that I'll know you when I see you. I've pictured it 1,000 times. My hands have run the length of your spine, down to your thighs, to your glass shoe. Oh, that I'll know you when I see you. your brand to be one another and another. Oh, I cannot call your name, 'cause I don't know who I'm calling to. That I'll know you when I see you. It's not that I have never loved, but my time has been a victim of the winds of change. My, how they blow. Oh, that I'll know you. My love I haven't met, wherefore art thou, Juliet? You see, I switched the lines, but the play reads true. Oh, that I'll know you when I see you. So shine, sunshine, from brighter than the first, so that your brand to be one another. I cannot call your name, 'cause I don't know who I'm calling to. That I'm